This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. What's going on? Jason here. Welcome to episode 619 of the Authentic Persuasion Show. This is the Friday episode, day five of the week, which means this is my recap and my thoughts and kind of expanding on the conversation I had with Dr. John Hansen from University of Alabama at Birmingham. It was a great conversation, as all of these are. And what's fascinating and fun is they're always different. You would think now, I don't know how many guests in this series, this season that we've had that, you know, are sales professional educators. And you would think, okay, well, they're just going to say the same thing and they're all kind of teaching the same thing. Well, first off, there's no standardization. So there is no core curriculum, let's say, like math, where there is the rules of math and then everyone is teaching math and maybe they have their own personality they add to it, but 2 + 2 = 4, algebra is algebra, calculus is calculus, and there's just a standard because it is science. There's art maybe in the creativity of how you like look at word problems, but it's science. Sales, on the other hand, is part science, part art. And it's new-ish from a discipline that's being taught. It's only been 20-some-odd years. And so what happens is there's no standardization, which means, and it's fun for the show, is that everyone has a different approach. Everyone has a different focus. And so the conversations are always new and different and exciting, which I absolutely love. Now, when we're talking about Dr. John Hansen, a couple of the big things that he's really focused on is value selling, being authentic, and then mental well-being, which we'll talk about. So in the first part, you know, we're talking about authenticity. And what he said, which is interesting, is that the stereotype is not real, obviously, about salespeople, right? Is that a lot of people enter in sales or don't enter in sales because of the stereotypes that they think about salespeople from movies, from TV shows, from their experiences in their lives with bad salespeople. Even like I was talking about on episode 615 at the start of this week, where I was referring to my experience with getting oil change and then how that just translate into the experience that people have and why they don't like dealing with salespeople or people who have some kind of motivation to sell you more and more things. And so that stereotype is not real. Like, those happen, but that's not all of what sales is. And I love too what he said was about the students that he has in his class when they start in these programs. Is there's three groups. The ones that are adamant about entering in sales, they usually have someone in their family that was in sales or is in sales, and they've seen it, they've seen the model, they know that it works, they've heard enough about it where they're like, that's great, I want to do that. Then there's number two, which is scared to death and just want to get through the class and please just let me finish this course that I have to take. And then the third is the big middle, which is I don't know about sales. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know how I feel about it and I'm not sure. And so it's interesting to look at that, right? And I think that's true for most people. There's people who want to get into sales, people who absolutely don't want to get into sales and don't want to even deal with salespeople. And there's people who are kind of in the middle, which could take it or leave it. Now, what's interesting is that he said for his more hesitant students, let's say in the big middle or even the ones that are scared to death about it and just trying to get through it, is that what happens is they end up asking more questions. So they're asking questions instead of talking. It's the natural salespeople, and I'm using giant air quotes for this, but the natural salespeople, the charismatic, the extroverts, the outgoing people who you would think, oh, that person's just designed for sales, they end up doing a lot of talking because they found that they like talking and that they found that they're really good at talking people into things, out of things, talking themselves into things and talking themselves out of things. And so what happens is they talk a lot. And the problem with that, which I've gone into so much length on the podcast here, and I do a lot of training with teams and coaching with salespeople, is that people want to talk about themselves. So remember, the number one rule, 2 ears, 1 mouth. Your customer, your potential customer, client, they want to talk about themselves and they want to be heard. And so what's interesting in the world of sales is the analytical people, the hesitant people, the people who don't feel like they're extroverted, charismatic, outgoing salespeople, again, air quotes, what happens is they don't lean on talking. They lean on asking questions. They lean on being curious, and they lean on being interested in other people. My mentor, David Meltzer, says this all the time, is be more interested than interesting, which means I'm more interested in you than I need to be interesting to you, than I need to talk about myself. Like, I don't care. And I get that all the time where someone starts asking me and I'm like, I don't need to talk about myself. Like, I don't care. I know me. I want to know you. And the more that you have that attitude, I'm telling you, it's a game changer in the world of sales, because that other person wants to be heard. They want to feel like you care about them. And the best way to do that is to actually listen, ask questions, be curious, and then shut up and listen and use active listening, and don't think about what you're going to say next. Don't multitask. Just truly listen with everything that you have. And then what happens is they will tell you everything that you need to know. And what's fascinating, again, going back to Dr. John's conversation that we had, is that the more hesitant students, and again, the more hesitant people that enter in sales, they usually ask more questions. So they're leaning on asking questions and making you do all the work and talk than doing it themselves. And I think that's so important. And if you don't do that enough, you can change that. You can shift that, and you can make yourself into someone who asks more questions and is interested more than interesting. Couple things he said in this first part, right? This is all in episode one of our conversation on authenticity, which was episode 616, is that buyers at their core, they want sellers who help them the way they want to be helped, right? Again, buyers at their core want sellers who help them the way they want to be helped. The key is you've got to help them. You've got to move them forward. You can't let them call all the shots, which means you're then an order taker. That's not the way to succeed in sales, but you have to figure out how they want to be helped, how they want to be sold to, basically. Like, what is the process they want that fits into your framework, and then doing that. And he has this quote. He said this in the episode: selling should be whatever your buyer wants it to be. And the problem with most sales organizations and most salespeople is they have a playbook. They have a pipeline. They have a CRM. They have stages in their process. And what happens is they try to make everyone fit to their playbook instead of having a playbook and then the options and the ability to meet the buyer where they want to be, right? And I think that's so important. Selling should be whatever your buyer wants it to be. Now, all right, in part two, we talk about the sales process. And here's one of the biggest things is we were talking about change management and, you know, fire and restart with new staff and all of these challenges that comes with people who are not following a process or not, you know, effective in the sales role. And the biggest thing I wanted to point out here is I wrote a chapter for a book called Voices for Leadership, Volume 1. And the part that I wrote is called Marry the Vision, Date the Strategy. And I've done some podcasts on it. I've put other content out there. But here's the big key. And if you listen to that episode, then it will make sense on why this is so important. The problem with most people, and then salespeople is an extension of that, and then organizations and sales teams is just an even deeper layer of that, is that most people are married to the wrong things and dating the wrong things. So what happens in sales is somebody gets hired. They get into their role and it's like, here's the script. And yes, I said the S word. I said script. Here is the script. Here is the playbook. Here's the process. Here's the CRM. Here's the pricing. Here's our ICP, like our target demographic. Here's how the conversations go. Here's how the stages go. Here's the contract. Here's how you get the contract signed. Here's how people pay. Like, all of that part of the sales operation, the salesperson is handed, trained on it, and then they execute it. And so what happens is people get married to that. Here is what we do, and now I'm married to that. And the reason why I say that is that if the company, or when the company needs to change, pivot, adjust anything so that they can constantly focus on winning and growth, then you get this change management resistance. You get this resistance to change because people don't want to change. Hey, we've got a new script. Hey, we've got new pricing. Hey, we're going to install a new CRM. Hey, we're going to use a new phone system. Hey, we're going to do a new way of signing contracts. Most people will then resist and complain and whine and fight and argue for their limitations and sell everybody on why they don't want to change and why nothing should change and why everything is perfect the way it is now without understanding things from a business level. They just fight. Very few people will say, oh, we're doing a new serum? That's great. I can't wait to try it, right? Like most people are like, no, I don't like it. I don't want to change. Like I hate change. And why are you doing that? And like, well, why can't we just stick with what we know? And it's just so painful. From a leadership perspective, it's literally so painful. And if you're in sales and you're listening to that, and this just triggered you, that whiny thing that I just did, please, it's if you resist change at all, then that's you, right? And here's why. Let me just break this down. What happens is most people marry the wrong things and they're dating the wrong things. What you want to do is you want to marry the vision and date the strategy. The problem is most people in sales and sales leaders, they marry the strategy. So they're married to this script, this sales process, this playbook. And if it changes, oh my God, my whole world is falling apart, right? I can't handle that level of change. Instead of marrying the vision, what's the vision? What is the company trying to accomplish? Where does it want to get to? And then the strategy should be what's being dated. Now, let me give you an example. And I have this in the book. And if you want more information, you can always message me or email me. But here's the thing is imagine you're taking a road trip. Your goal is to go from Los Angeles, California to New York City, New York, right? Your vision is New York City, New York. Thursday next week, that's when you have to be there, right? That is the vision. You're married to that. That's where we're going. Nothing is going to stop us. Okay, then what happens is the strategy is what happens along the road trip. Where are we going to stay? Is this going to take us 5 days? Are we going to take 8 days? Are we going to take our time? Where are we going to stay the first night? Where are we going to stay the second night? Where are we going to get gas? Because the strategy is going to change, but the vision won't. You might have to take a detour. There might be construction. There might be an accident, right? Your car may break down. And you might have to get it fixed in a town that you weren't planning on staying in so that you can then continue. And it throws off all of your timing. But that's all strategy. That's not the vision. Now, in that road trip, so imagine you're getting to New York City, New York. Let's say you have your best friend's wedding is happening next Thursday and you need to be there for that. You get a flat tire, your car breaks down, there's a detour and you have to go out of your way. Are you just going to stop? Are you going to go, you know what? This is just too hard. Let's go back home and forget it, right? Or maybe this is too hard and this road trip thing isn't working. Let's just get to an airport and fly there and skip some steps, even if it costs more. Or are you just going to keep going? Like, what is it that you're married to? Are you married to the next stop that you're going to make or the next hotel? And if anything gets in your way, your whole world's going to fall apart. Are you married to getting to New York City, New York, next Thursday? And that's the big difference. In sales, it's the same thing. Where is the company getting to? Where does it want to go to? What part does everyone want to play or need to play in it? And then what are the strategies? Because the scripting and the conversations in the playbook today might need to be adjusted tomorrow. The whole world had to adjust in 2020, right? Playbooks, outreach, systems, processes, being in an office, leadership, all of that changed. And there were companies that literally fell apart because they were married to strategies. All those strategies got crushed in an instant globally. And so they fell apart. They had nothing. Everyone was married to the wrong things. Then I saw a lot of companies who were married to the vision and everyone just bucked up and figured it out and said, okay, well, this is the new reality. This is the current reality. We know what our vision is as a company. We got to do new strategies. Let's do new things. Let's figure it out and let's keep going. If you're in sales, marry the vision and date the strategy. If you're in leadership, marry the vision, date the strategy. And if you're in leadership and you have a change-resistant workforce, a change-resistant sales team, please reach out to me. Please get in touch with me and let's do some work with them to help you with them. Or sometimes it might be too late and you need to hire new people that are married to the right things and dating the right things. And that's a whole different conversation. All right, now, part three. Let's go into this last part here. So part three is about the future of sales, right? The biggest thing that Dr. John is focused on, which I absolutely love, is well-being, right? When he started in sales in the 90s, nobody was talking about mental well-being, just simultaneous in different types of tasks and working on different things, and well-being wasn't a thing. And there's this belief that salespeople can just handle stress and rejection, unlike normal people, air quotes, because that's why they're in sales, because they love stress and they love rejection, and it's okay. And some people will say it, I love rejection. It's like, no, you don't. Like, you found a way to tolerate it. You can handle it. You have coping mechanisms to get around it. You understand that where you're going is more important than the rejection in the moment, but nobody likes rejection. No one likes being told no. That ego part is still there. And I think what he also said was, it's not true that salespeople like stress, can handle stress, and like rejection. Is they feel the anxiety. If you're in sales, you know that. Like, it may be stressful. That doesn't mean you're perfect at it and it doesn't affect you. It still causes stress and anxiety and worry and doubt and all of these things. And the reason why is we're all human. The amygdala, the primal part of our brain, the survival mechanism, doesn't like any threats to us, and it perceives all of that as a threat, right? Stress and anxiety and rejection. It's all dangerous to that part of our mind. Even if it's not real, like it's not really going to kill us, our brain doesn't care and it doesn't see that. And so the biggest thing you can do, please, whether you're a sales leader or you're in sales, is to focus on mental well-being. And the organizations that are going to win moving forward are the ones that are going to focus on well-being and taking care of their people and making sure that people have a good balance of stress, right, and moving things forward, but then also ensuring that they're getting taken care of and they're taking care of themselves. And it's so important. Please, no matter what, focus on your mental well-being. Now, there's so many different strategies. There's so many different tactics. Everybody's different. Everyone has a different mode that they like, a different thing that resonates for them. I know for me, it's journaling. It's taking walks. It's working out. It's stepping away. It's, you know, breathing exercises. There's a lot of different things that I've found to help myself when I get stressed or when I'm just dealing with that. And it just feels like there's so much going on. I make lists, and then what I have to do is I have to make that list, and then what I do is I make another list with just one or two items on it. Because if I have a long list, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's overwhelming. How am I going to get this done? Versus, oh, here's the one thing I need to do. Set a Pomodoro timer for 20 minutes, and then just hit it with focused effort, and then move on to the next one, right? Take it one bite at a time. Like, how do you get up a mountain one step at a time? Sometimes you've got to look down at your feet and literally take one step in front of the next and focus on one step. Don't look up the mountain and see how far you have to go. And so it's so important when doing that. Like, if you have a ton of calls to make and you're like stressed out because it feels like you have a lot of calls, just break it down. How many calls can I do in the next 20 minutes? How about I do this? Let me focus on five calls. Let me make five calls. Let me take a break and then make five calls and take a break. It's better to do a little bit and a break and a little bit and a break than do none of it or try to sprint and burn out and get stressed and tired and anxious and then not do anything else. Like, if you treat it more like a marathon and you do little sprints within your marathon instead of trying to sprint the whole marathon, then you'll find success. So please take that from this, especially from the mental health side. Hopefully that helps. Make sure to check out all three of the episodes that I did with Dr. John Hansen. If you didn't check them out yet and you skip right to the cliff notes to my assessment of it, then you're going to go back and listen to them. The three topics, it's selling should be whatever your buyer wants it to be. Obviously, it's what I talked about. Part two on sales process and persuasion is shifting from product to process-focused sales. And then number three, which makes sense, mental well-being in sales and breaking down silos in those organizations.